Never had my eyes dilated, and I can tell you. I thought my eyes were looking, I was having a hard time seeing before. My eyes still aren't right. I was trying to do my homework. I said, well, I'll just take advantage. I don't want to be on the road. I might run over somebody. So I'll take advantage of this. I'll do homework. And normally I type about 5 or 6 words and had to back up every now and then. I just had to back up after 2 or 3 letters. Because all the words were doubled. So I really learned a whole big lesson today about people and another new respect for people with glasses. All right. Here's this message. When you leave tonight, I'm not sure who, when, or where, who's going to say this, but I believe that somebody tonight is going to say, wow, God read my mail and knew what I needed. So tonight's my night. Y'all even say that, tonight's my night. Y'all said that like you really meant it too. Tonight's my night. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. Okay, so now, let's see here if I can get my program up. I'm trying to get it up. Let's see if you get the wrong. Let's see here. Yeah, I'm using the fake Bible. That's what my daddy calls it, the fake Bible, because it don't have leather. I said, Daddy, it's not a fake Bible. To him, it does. Yeah, but I gave him a real Bible, and the only thing he ever read on it was the front, his name on it, Holy Bible and David Linton. That's it. He said, well, I read the Bible. He read on the back, too. He read on the back, read on the front, and said, I read it from cover to cover. He didn't read the rest of it. Daddy's doing good. Daddy bless his heart, says, he said, son, am I going to die? I said, why you say that? He said, I've never felt so good. I said, no, you're feeling good because you listen to somebody besides Dr. Linton. All right. God reveals himself. This is going to be awesome. The God reveals himself as the God of all comfort. This is awesome. The God of all comfort. Now, let's just read along here, read a little bit. The world is so full of pain and discomfort. Many times we feel alone, even forsaken. But God wants us to know that he is always, somebody say always, always with us. I can't say that enough. God wants us to know that he is always, always with us. Even when we don't feel him. Because remember, here's what you got to remember. There is his known presence. And that's when we sense him. And sometimes, listen, this might not sound cool, but it happens. Sometimes we don't feel him because we're not in a position to feel him. We either are doing things we shouldn't do, in a place we shouldn't be, or either we're not doing our best to draw close to him. So his known presence, we don't feel. And sometimes he removes his known presence from you. And the reason that he removes his known presence from you is because he's trying to teach you to walk by faith, not by sight. So there have been times that I know, I said, God, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't see you. But his known presence was withdrawn. There has been times because I had a bad attitude. Okay, I know Beth was like, you had a bad attitude, Dad? Oh, yeah, I have them every now and then. Had one Sunday morning, started out with, but God spanked me, took my base and spanked me with it. Amen. But it takes a real man to apologize immediately and get back on site. I apologize. And again, because I remember, and what it is, I was having to live up to what I preached the week before, is don't say anybody made you do that. You know, because I was going through my father-in-law, mother-in-law, my father, you know, and last night my Beverly's father was in the emergency room. His defibrillator went off. So now the whole spectrum, my father-in-law, my first father-in-law, my second father-in-law, you know, I mean, they're all, it's just, you know, all God's children. And I, and so, again, but then I sit down and look back and think about people like Sister Kathleen, who's 94, who had obstructed bowel because of hernia. And so they operated on her. It took about 4 hours. They said there's possibly five things we're going to have to do. When he come out of surgery, he said, you know, I told you there's about five things. He said, we'll do all five of them. And so she, and she's looking wonderful. She's getting ready to go to rehab. She's in Newbern. 2510. Yeah, she's in a regular room now. Oh, yeah. She's been sick for a couple of weeks. And I don't know if you know how bad she had looked. She really looked kind of rough. She's in 2510, or she was yesterday. 2510 in Newbern. But you have to ask anyway when you go up. But 2510, they moved her out of intensive care last Friday, I believe it was. I got there after she got out of intensive care. So. So everybody can visit her now, 2510. And then Burton, of course, he's trying to get straightened out from the surgery, and he had his hip replaced. He's in Golden Living, nursing home behind the hospital in Greenville, and he's in room 3 in Golden Living. Now, last time he was there, he was as far back as you could go without, and you couldn't go through the back. You had to go to the front. I told him last, I said, where's Burton at? I went Sunday. I said, where's Burton? And they said, because I'd seen him just as he was leaving on Thursday or Friday. So I went in on Sunday to see him. And I said, where's Burton at? And they said, in room 3, I said, well, praise God. I said, last time I had to bring my lunch, and I had to drop breadcrumbs so I could find my way back. Yeah, and that's why Dorothy and Billy were going to go see him, and they couldn't. It was too far. They couldn't go that far. Now if they want to go, all they got to do is walk in. Go around the corner. Still got to go maneuver around a couple of corners, but there he is. But again, you know, that was no excuse. All that stuff going on, and then going to school. And I do have to say this, I'm going to brag on the Lord because it ain't me. I started a new class, and I finally got four of my grades back, and there was a 3 100s and a 96. That's good. Amen. This old puppy still got some. So he's got some puppy chow in him. Amen. And so, and plus I had that going on with my eye Sunday too. That had a headache and this eye thing going on. It was just, but now I feel better about that because they've already checked my eye out. And I still can't see out of it, but that's okay. I will eventually. You said it would come back. So it's going to, I got to wait. All right. So now, again, there is God's known presence, which sometimes we don't know it because we're not ready to receive. It's like this. Have you ever gone in a church and you sit beside somebody or sit down the road from them and they never knew you were there? Why didn't they know you were there? It's because they didn't look around to see you. They didn't realize you were going to be there, so they didn't really pay attention. So they weren't in a position to understand that you were there. That's how God does it. Sometimes he's there, we don't realize. But now there's the unknown presence. The unknown presence is always with us. He said, if I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. And that word make my bed in hell was not talking about after you die. Make my bed. I'm going to hell for rest. How many's ever gone to hell for rest? All right, get ready. I'll tell you. All right. How many's ever you've been wore out? I mean wore out. And instead of going to the good places to get some rest, you may get up with the wrong people. Or because you're wore out in life because things have got you tore up, you go back to your old ways, thinking it's going to give you some rest. So I've made my bed in hell because I've gone back to my old ways. Or if I had a bad attitude before I got saved, because remember, We're creatures of habit, and psychologically what we do is we go back to we've always flee to the familiar. When things are going rough, we flee to the familiar. So, because we flee to the familiar, if somebody was a gossiper, they go back to that. If somebody was a drinker, they can go back to drinking. If somebody was doing drugs, they're going to go back to the drugs. You know, whatever. And sometimes, and we think it's a sign of addiction, and it's not necessarily a sign of addiction, it's a sign of hurting. You're trying to find rest. Okay? You're hurting. You're trying to find rest. you flee to the familiar, but you find out it's only a temporary fix, and you've made your bed in hell, but God's still there. You can't feel him, but he's still there. Wow, that's deep. That's deep as deep can get, right? So now, since God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk away or leave you, we can boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. This is from the message. I love the message. It's so awesome. Again, I got to read that again. That's so awesome. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. And it's just so powerful. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. See if I'm in Hebrews 13. Let's see. Where am I? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. How come this isn't? It's Hebrews 13. What in the world have I done? Let you down. Maybe it was not the message I quoted. Okay. Whatever it is, here it is. Whatever version it is awesome, okay? Because I got the message right. Well, I don't have the message in front of me. Now it's like Mr. Gimble on Green Acres. Linda and I pick on that all the time about something like Mr. Gimble. Yeah, with my own brain, with myself. That's right. Here it is. I just didn't see the. I see what it is. Here it is. I didn't get the whole verse. I see it. Praise God. I told you I can't even see him. I'm still trying to get my eyeballs straight. Here it is. Since God assured us, I'll never let you down, never walk away or leave you, you can boldly say, God is there, ready to help. I am fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? God has not created you and set you adrift in the ocean of life. He not only knows the intimate details of your life, but he has your best interest in mind. Okay, and actually what I did was, I see what I did. I was in such a hurry that I put more there than it was there. So I see what's going on. Praise God. I have to remember that. Yeah, but I'm talking about, I know what I did wrong. Well, I do though. And I hate that thought that I didn't feel it. No matter what, who can get to me? And that's where I need to go back and change that. Okay. And here's not the rest of the scripture. This is not the rest of the scripture. This is, I was typing so fast. Sometimes I get typing and I get getting good to me. And then sometimes I'm talking to somebody. They're standing at the door and I'm talking to them. You know, like this morning, I went over to relieve Linda from her mama so she could go to work. And when I sit in there, I was trying to read my work for today. So I was trying to do my classwork. And my father-in-law can't hear good. And so he's down below and he's turned on a Bible teacher who's talking another entirely different book of the Bible than what I'm reading. And he's got it on 40. It was on 60. The white volume was on 60. That's loud. And on top of that, he was going, amen. Hallelujah. You tell him. I bet nobody believes that. And I'm still trying to read. And I was trying to tune out the Bible teacher. And all of a sudden, go, that's right. And there. so then one night I was there and I was working on a paper for physics. I'm working on this physics paper. And my mother-in-law goes there and turns on the news. She's got it so loud, I can't hear myself think. So I go outside, and her neighbors decide to start riding a lawnmower up and down the street. And they were scraping along the side of the sidewalk. The curb is going, rawr, rawr, rawr. And they were having some cool 90-year-old party. I don't know, because they're all old. They're all going back and forth. They're going, can you throw me the rake? I said, so I went back in the house, listened to the news. It was a whole lot better than trying to listen to them cut the grass and run over to whatever. All right. Well, that's what happened here, okay? Now, praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. What this lets you know is, number one, is I'm human. Number two, we can all get distracted. Even when we think we've got it going on, we still can get distracted. Okay. Now, the Greek for comfort is paraklesis. The Holy Spirit is, the comforter is called the paraklete. The paraklete, this is the paraklesis. It means calling to one side an exhortation or consolation, or sometimes translated encouragement. And I think I said about this the other day. I hope I did. And I was talking about soulmates. Maybe I did. Maybe I'm saving it for another one, which I'll get a preview of. I didn't. When God said, I will make Adam a helpmeet. That word helpmeet, it's in Hebrew, but translated in the Greek is paraclete. So the woman's role in the marriage is to be like the comforter of the Holy Spirit. Wow. She comforts her husband. She comforts her children. She guides them. Listen, she guides them. She helps train them. She walks along beside them. That's powerful. That's that's because she has to do a lot. That's right. Okay, so let's go back over here now. So that was just a preview. You'll hear it. Next time you hear it, you won't get you. Not a parakeet. A par. Okay. I was like DC yesterday. When my father-in-law was in the hospital, DC went up and said, I'm a chaplain. I need to go back there. And his wife sat there and said, you ain't no chaplain. Says your daddy's a pastor. And DC says, I'm still a chaplain. She says, your daddy's a pastor. He'll be here in a minute. And I'm going to tell him. And DC says, she called him right out in front of the nurse and everybody. They still let him back there, and he went back to see him. All right. So that's right. So here, God's comfort described. Now, notice I put that word functionally. Functionally. The reason I say functionally is because a lot of times when we're learning from the Bible, if we're not careful, we hear a whole bunch of talk, but it's not functional. What do I mean by that? It's kind of like if y'all come in here and y'all were trying to figure out how to build your garage, and all of a sudden I come filling out these $50 words that some doctor of building management comes up with these fancy terms, you know, and he gives all these terms and all this stuff and gives you all these formulas and stuff. You're going, just tell me how to build my doghouse. Then somebody comes along and here says, all right, here's what you do, and tells you how to, that's functional. Okay. I don't know about you, but I've had classes that were not functional. I've heard sermons that were not functional. I've preached sermons that were not functional. I listen to some of my tapes sometime, want to go back and apologize. You know what I'm saying? Because it was not functional. Yeah. So here we go. Here it is. Here we go. This is functional. All right? Now, when I say functional, this is how God relates to us. But this is also how we are to relate to others. Okay? This is how God relates to us. But how we are to relate to others, that's powerful. Because we're to imitate who? Right? So first, cares for me with compassion. That's powerful. He causes wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. The word gracious means he gives what you don't deserve. Wow. You know, a lot of times I get so tired of hearing these commercials. The big catchphrase for these commercials now is you deserve. McDonald's started, you deserve a break today. So go and clog up your heart today at McDonald's. No. Well, you deserve a break. You'll need a break. So again, this is powerful. His miracles are his memorial to God of grace, this God of love. Matter of fact, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's gracious and merciful. Gracious and merciful. Gracious means giving something you don't deserve, and merciful means holding back what you do deserve. So in other words, I deserve a butt whipping, but instead he reaches down and holds me. Okay? He's done that before. I deserve for him just to walk away. And God says, no, and he draws me closer. So, cares for me with compassion. There's people in your life right now that your life would change. There's people in your family. There's people in your life. Your whole life would change if you could learn to to use grace and mercy with those people. They deserve you to walk away. They deserve for you to turn your back. They deserve for you to leave them alone. But mercy withholds that, and grace gives them love instead. My daddy used to say this, and y'all's daddy said it, and everybody else's daddy said it. You can win a whole lot more people, catch a whole lot more flies with sugar than vinegar, right? So, number two, he offers strength when I'm weak. I can do everything through him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. Now, again, offer strength when I'm weak. Right now, see, we're supposed to be in Florida. I'm glad we didn't go, because I've told you a lot of things that were happening. One of the biggest things that happened was Tamala was going to watch Linda's mama and daddy. We still hadn't figured out how we were going to take care of the nighttime, because Linda spends the night and Tamala's in the daytime. And Tamala's got family. She couldn't stay there the whole time. And Linda's got family. And because we're older, we go there. You know, Linda did go home last night for a few minutes and play with the dogs to make sure the dogs remembered who she was. But then she come on back. I was in the emergency room with my other father-in-law. Bethany was with Linda's mama and daddy. And so, but again, like in the mornings, because Tamla's not there. And I said, look, I'm already up at 6:37 o'clock anyway. And instead of waiting for you to call me on the way to work so I can pray with you, what about, because she's going to work at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, because she's waiting for Tamla to get there, and plus she got all this medicine and the insulin and all this stuff. I said, look, my mama was that way. I don't know how to do all this. So just chill. You go ahead and go to work, and I'll be there. And so I haven't been able to make her lunch anymore, and I haven't been able to take care of her because of this. And so now I'm back into bringing her breakfast, you know, because she needs that energy. And I found out these little, not tacos, burritos, and I take and put an egg and fold the egg up with cheese and give her that, and that'll take her through the lunchtime. And gives her energy, gives her protein. And she hadn't been having that for weeks. And so I got that for her and made sure she's drinking the juice that she needs to drink and all that stuff. So I told her, I said, look, let me get in the middle more than I am already. And so, of course, that's what we can do for other people. God offers us strength when we're weak. We can offer our strength to others when they're weak. Okay? It's awesome. We're more like God like that. Number three, meet all my needs. God will meet all your needs according to his riches and to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Well, I can't meet everybody's needs, but I can meet what I can. Okay, there's certain things I just can't do. But there's some things I could do and I don't. Have you ever felt the Spirit tell you to do something and you don't do it and you walk away and say, man, I wish I'd have listened. Next, forget. Here's a hard one. Oh, Lord, this is a hard one. Forget my sins and mistakes. Or I'll forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. He throws our sins. Once you ask God to forgive you, he throws your sins in the sea of forgiveness and puts up a no fishing sign. The only problem is we keep on fishing. Or our friends keep on fishing. Or our family keeps on fishing and won't leave it alone. If we could learn, if nothing else, if we could show an example to others of how to, okay, you said you're sorry. I'm going to give you a chance again. The Bible says 7 times 70 a day. That's 490 times a day. Okay. Forget my sins. If we could show that as an example, wow. Offer hope for the future. For I know the plans I have for you, and this is one of my favorite ones, especially in the message. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. And in the message, oh man, this is so, so awesome. I love it. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you the future you hope for. Wow, that's powerful. Reassure me of his love. Jeremiah 31. Let's see here. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. God told them, I never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, love, and more love. Wow. He's never quit loving us. Turn my pain into joy. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 30:5. And there's another one of those powerful, powerful. When he gets anger once in a while, but across a lifetime, there's only one love. The nights of crying your eyes out give away to days of laughter. Wow, that's just awesome. Many people are in a prison. They are prisoners of their past or the prisoners of other people's past. Wrong thinking imprisons them by not knowing the God of truth who will set them free. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. What you see here is what God does for you. For comfort. Functional comfort. But if you want to be a functional Christian. You know, I was writing a paper today and the paper said, was there ever a time in your life when you... This was wild because I wasn't even expecting this in class. That I worshiped the word. How they put it? Incorrectly, I worshiped the word instead of worshiping God. And I had to tell, listen, this is crazy, but I remember when I first got saved and I started reading the Bible, it got good to me. Because I had a preacher that was very good at preaching expository sermons, so I just got so much out of it. So I'd start reading and reading and reading and reading and reading. And I got to the point where I was at work, I would read at break time, I'd read before I'd go to work. I'd read in the car. I'd go sit in the break. I mean, go sit in the team meeting room, and I'd read. And I'd read during breaks, and I'd read during lunch. And I read the New Testament, don't know how many times the first year, just in those times. And I asked the pastor one time, I said, can you study too much? And he told me, when it becomes an idol. I had to sit back and think about it. Any strength out of proportion becomes a weakness. Any strength, no matter what it is. If you're a good communicator out of proportion, all of a sudden now you're a blabbermouth. If you're a very smart person, there's a lot of things. If it's out of proportion, you become a know-it-all. If you're a strong person, you can handle things, but it gets out of proportion, you're thought of as heartless. So again, there was people sitting around me at break time, at lunch time, and they thought I was snubbing them because I was reading. And so instead of me evangelizing them, I was pushing them away. Instead of drawing them to God, they thought I was holier than thou. And so the Lord had to break through, and he did it when that pastor told me that. That was the beginning of God breaking through. Do I study? I still study all the time. You can ask Beth, and I've always got something going on, always studying. But now I've learned that. Not let study become an idol. Instead, put it in its proper position, its proper place. And when God presents me with people to minister to, take that study that I have done, that I've studied in private, and use it publicly. Instead of doing it all the time and then refusing to even minister to everybody, because then they'll think, he just thinks he's something. I didn't. I wonder why they weren't hanging around me. Why didn't they want to be with me? Somebody even told me one day, said, who wants to be around you, Mr. Holier than thou? I weren't trying to be holier than thou. I'm a country boy. I was having a good old time, but not there because I was too busy. And God gave us 24 hours. There's other times I could have used to read. Instead of that 10-minute break, that 10-minute break, and that 30-minute break, and that 30 minutes in the morning, I could have used. Now, if nobody's there, I would do it. But when people were there, I'd put it down. And I talk to those people. Because, again, you can make an idol out of anything. 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 Any questions, comments? I know this has been kind of a wild night. Really has. It's been a very good night. Learn a lot, but at the same time, it's been some heavy stuff. This has been a heavy one. Heavy, 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 heavy. Yes, you're right. But here's the way to do it. Read when you can. When God presents the person in front of you, take advantage of it. That's awesome. Because after I started doing that, man, people flocked. They flocked to me. After that, and they would come to me, ask me spiritual questions, and talk to me about God and all kinds of things. Because now I've gone from being Billy Scripture bad to, you know, Billy bad to now I was accessible. If you get to me, and I looked, what is she doing? You know, you can't go into Walmart like that. They think you're going to rob the place. A redneck Muslim. Oh, sure do. Yeah, I can tell you, like at Fountain. I remember at Fountain. I was walking because I had learned this. I pulled up my Bible when I needed to, but when I didn't, I didn't. And I kept things folded in my pocket, so when I needed, I could pull it out and work on stuff. But I made sure I focused. I focused on the field, not myself. And I remember going through one day, and I was walking through the main office, and this stuff happened all the time. I remember this day, the vice president of sales said, David, can you come in here? And I had really never even met the man, just briefly. And I said, yes, sir. He said, shut the door behind you. And I just met the man about a week before. He's only been here for like 4 weeks. And I only talked with him two or three. I bet I hadn't said a whole sentence to the man. But he'd been watching me and watching me how I interacted with other people. And he had talked to some other people. And so, he calls me in his office. He says, can you shut the door? And this one of those guys can fire you on the spot. And I'm thinking, what have I done? You know, and I shut the door. And I said, I think to myself, yeah, they'll walk through the valley of shadow of death. And I go and sit down with him. And he burst out crying. And he says, I need to talk to you. And I ministered to that guy that day. Man, I ministered to that guy that day. This is the guy here. He went back to Florida, but this guy had Hulk Hogan, pictures of Hulk Hogan and all these celebrities that he had sold all these books to. He was just, he's a bad dude. And I just kept looking at him as a bad, bad dude. And I realized that day that he had the same problems everybody else had. And he hurt the same way everybody else hurt. You know, although he had it all together and made 20 times more than I was making, he still put on his shoes where I put mine on. You know, he still goes through things. And I got a chance many times in those boats to go in those boats and lead people to Jesus Christ. Inside the boat while they were building them. Go in the boat and lead them to Jesus Christ. Or our supervisors called me in the office. I shut the door and I wound up counseling with the guys. It was just amazing. It was always amazing to watch God work. But if I had been like I was at Procter & Gamble years ago, where I was stuck in that little room reading that Bible, not talking to anybody, like I was scared to death. Let me just tell you something. Let me tell you something. God says you're of this world. You're not of this world. You're in this world, but you're not of it. I want you to remember this. We are insulated, not isolated. Insulated, not isolated. And the problem is sometimes we get them mixed up. Yes. Not only that, but you walk in that jail cell. That can be some tough stuff. I was talking to Chad, the captain, in Emmaus. It's kind of cool. The new PCDC captain is in Emmaus. He's working the walk with us. And I told him, I said, Chad, they won't let us go back in D block. And I said, how was the minister on Thursday night? They won't let us go back in D block. He said, but sometimes they don't let you back there because there's some bad, bad dudes. And I said, Chad, that's why we're there. And I said, I think I can hold my own until somebody gets a guard in there. I said, let him loose. And so he said, well, if y'all ain't scared. I said, I ain't scared. Let him on back there. Well, me and Danny, I'll tell you what, We've had them jump up on the table last. They jump right up on the table. Jump up on the table. And say, what you going to do? And I stood up and said, I don't know what you want to do. And the guy sat down. You know, I just told him, said, whenever they jump at you, jump back. If you don't jump back, you've lost their respect. So just jump back. The funniest though was that night that we were in D block, and one of the guys with me run down at the other end and come running back and said, you gotta get here, you gotta get here. Come on. I said, what is wrong? He said, that man down there's got a devil painted on his wall. I said, okay. He said, go get David Linton and bring him here. I said, I don't know that guy. He says, he knows you. He said, go get David Linton and bring him down here. I want to talk to him. I said, okay. So I walked down there, and he got talking all foolish, and he had that look in his eye. And I said, can I pray with you? He said, huh? I said, just put your hand up on the wall. So he put his hand up, and I put my hand to the side so he couldn't see me. And I said, devil, this is not between me and you, this is between you and God. I'm just a messenger. I said, come out of this man now. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Next time we got there, he had some pretty thing written up on the wall. And he was talking in his right mind. But all back told the other guy, I said, he knew our name. He said, yeah, that's scary. I said, no, it's not. I said, the seven sons of Sceva, when they tried to cast out the demon out of that guy, they said, we cast the demon out. We adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preached. And they said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you in the jump moment? I said, he knows our name. It's okay. And he said, oh, yeah. That's cool. Now, wanting to go back. If you all want to do it, I'm telling you, we need more ministers. We need more ministers. Female and male. Linda was going to do it until she found out one night I got in there, Patrick and I, and we went to go out, and they said, can you go sit back down, sir? I said, well, I said, the computer's broke. We can't get you out of there. And so we went and sat down for 10 more minutes in the behavioral management. But it wasn't so bad because they made sure all the guys were put back up. And so we sat there, and I come back and told Linda. Linda says, I work with computers. If you got a computer, I open that door, I ain't going. No, they're not. That's right. Okay, y'all, Sunday morning, remember, Sunday morning. Look. Sunday morning. Y'all need to get everybody you can here, because where's my apron at? My apron. I brought my apron. I'm gonna be cooking. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They're gonna be cool. Sugar cookies. It's in the back. They're gonna bring it up here. Says the oven's gonna be setting. I'm gonna come back Thursday and set it all up. So the oven's gonna be sitting up here somewhere. And that's gonna be cool. We're gonna make cookies and everybody can have a cookie. No, it's a real oven. A real oven. One of those toaster ovens. This is not an easy bake oven. This is a real oven. And I'm gonna pass out real, I'm gonna make real sugar cookies. Hope not. Yeah, but this one's got a sermon on it. So each ingredient, one of them's flour and the other one's baking powder. I know I got more stuff. I got eggs and yeah. So if you want somebody to if you got somebody you want to come to church in a very non-threatening way, a non-threatening, plus they get a sugar cookie if they want, if they can eat it. That's a great idea. Well, that's what I was thinking about was this, is we need to have a friend day. And on the friend day, have pancakes and sausage. Bring a friend and let's have pancakes and sausage. No. Yeah, tell your friend, you can come with us, but you got to pay $3 a plate. Yeah. We're trying to get you cut. We're going to, you know, you'd probably have an easier time going out saying I'm selling tickets to heaven for $5 a piece than you could just say, come get it free. Yeah. So let's go. God's awesome. Y'all, is that off? Is that off? Okay, let's pray. I'm gonna ask y'all another prayer. I don't want to. Father, we love you.